A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Hear me, O coastlands. Listen, O distant peoples. The Lord called me from birth. From my mother's womb, he gave me my name. He made of me a sharp-edged sword and concealed me in the shadow of his arm. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me. You are my servant, he said to me, Israel, through whom I show my glory. Though I thought I had toiled in vain and for nothing uselessly spent my strength, yet my reward is with the Lord, my recompense is with my God. For now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to him and Israel gathered to him. And I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. It is too little, he says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Paul said, God raised up David as king. Of him God testified, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will carry out my every wish. From this man's descendants, God, according to his promise, has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. John heralded his coming by proclaiming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was completing his course, he would say, What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. Behold, one is coming after me. I am not worthy to unfasten the sandals of his feet. My brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those others among you who are God-fearing, to us this word of salvation has been sent. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy towards her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There is no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name." And all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. Verbum Domini. We see in celebrating this day as a solemnity of the nativity of John the Baptist, the great importance that John the Baptist was. We celebrate his martyrdom and his birth, and no other saint's birth is celebrated. You know, we celebrate Mary's birth, but no other saint is celebrated. It speaks of his significance. Some general things about John, about his greatness. We highlight this all during Advent, but we know that the coming, the birth of the Messiah, was of such an event, of an immense thing, that God prepared for it through centuries, through the whole Old Testament and Old Covenant. All the rituals and sacrifices converge on Christ. There was a stirring even in the pagan world with the Magi coming to visit. John the Baptist is the immediate precursor, we call him, or forerunner. He welcomes Christ already from his mother's womb, right? He leaps for joy when Mary brings the Christ child in her womb to the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth. He leaps for joy. He receives the Holy Spirit from Jesus. The purpose of his mission, to pour out that Holy Spirit upon us. Later, as an adult, John would point him out as the Lamb and the Bridegroom, and that John himself, we're told, goes before Christ in the spirit and the power of Elijah to bear witness by his preaching, the baptism of repentance that he would administer, and through his martyrdom. We see that he completes the work of making a people prepared to receive the Lord, the scripture verse, that he prepares the people of the old covenant to receive Jesus, the new covenant, the Messiah, the Son of God. John's baptism prefigures, his baptism of repentance prefigures what would be achieved in Christ. His was a baptism of repentance. Jesus baptizes with water and the Holy Spirit, and is a new birth, that we receive that Holy Spirit. We become new creations in Christ. We're told that people ask today, "What will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." And Zechariah, when he was the announcement that he received from Gabriel that Elizabeth would conceive, he was performing his priestly duties in the temple, offering incense. That's quite an announcement, you know, for your coming child. Elizabeth, an elderly woman, was considered barren. And we see her great role to play here, you know, in giving birth to him, of course, but even at this moment of the circumcision, this question of what to name him. And Elizabeth speaks up that he will be called John. Zechariah confirms this. Elizabeth herself is a witness. So many of the Old Testament, we have so many times in the Old Testament where barren women conceive. This is an image of salvation, of this new life that Jesus has come to bring us. So they name him John, and it means God is merciful. He's the voice of the one crying out in the desert, crying out for people to repent, to receive the mercy of God, to turn back to the Lord, to repent of sin, and to receive that mercy. And we see that Elizabeth, we're told herself, was shown this great mercy in her ability to conceive. I think, you know, it's a powerful meditation to see how mothers reflect John the Baptist, our special image of John the Baptist. We recently had Colleen McDonald here as the president of the Archconfraternity of Christian Mothers, and I was speaking with her, and she talks about this and has given retreats about this, how Christian mothers are like a John the Baptist. Right? They are given these children that they're to nurture and care for and to prepare the way of the Lord in their children's lives and their formation of them. John the Baptist is not the Messiah. He can't save or make people holy. Ultimately, that's the work of Jesus. But mothers certainly teach their children. They prepare for Christ, you know, to come into their lives. They witness to their children in their life of piety, teaching their children about the sacramentals of the church and the sacraments, teaching them about love and mercy, self-sacrifice to the witness of their life and repentance. The children see the mother practicing their faith. They have a special closeness to the children, especially when they're young. And John's motto that he must increase and I must decrease, you know, in reference to Christ, certainly is true for the mother. She has to let go of the child. That she is not the Savior. She's not everything to the child. She is bringing them to God. She must decrease. And yet they have this great responsibility and authority to do everything for their children when they're young, materially, spiritually. And the temptation is to grasp it too long and not turn them over to the Lord. Colleen was telling me that times mothers can feel like John the Baptist in the desert. The work can seem lonely and desolate without recognition, without acknowledgement. And at times feeling like they're not reaching their children, but they are there to guide them, to help them navigate the tricks of this world, the deceits of this world, as John combated Herod, pointed out his improper marriage, spoke truth to power with great boldness. We see mothers doing that for their children. But they show in humility and witness with their lives to Jesus. You know, in Luke chapter 9, verse 7 to 9, we see Herod kind of confused about who Jesus is. He says, "Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done, and he was perplexed. because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others one of the old prophets had risen. Herod said, John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things? And Colleen in her meditations pointed out, I thought this was beautiful, that the same is true of mothers, should be true of all of us. You know, this confusion with Christ, you know, our identity. We are to become other Christ in the world. That confuses the world at times. Where does this goodness come from? Where does this strength come from? Where does this witness come from? Where does this mercy come from? Mercy is not preached in the world. It is not the way of the world. We see John doing that, calling to repentance, to turn to the Lord for forgiveness. The Christian is supposed to witness to this as well. That's the only thing that gives us hope, that gives people courage, that really draws them to Christ, that they're not meeting the just judge, they're meeting a merciful Son of God that's going to offer us forgiveness, new life, a new birth. Mothers witness to this in an extraordinary way, you know, in the life of their children, introducing them to the fundamental themes of Christianity, these things that are not taught in the world, things that are overlooked. She does so in a powerful and hidden way.